welcome to a special IPA Day edition of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, this is not one of your normal Brutal Battle episodes. There are a few different things about it. One, it's not going to be one of our numbered episodes, so this is not number 32. This is on the side all by itself. Another thing is Kyle is not here. I have with me, who do I have with me?
Rebecca.
My wife Rebecca, who is usually our gracious beer pourer for the episodes we usually have.
Or beer wench.
Or beer wench, however she wants to be referred to it as. So basically what ended up transpiring is, full disclosure, Kyle and I were having a little bit of a hard time getting together for the next episode, and I really wanted to record on IPA Day. I thought it would be super awesome to feature some IPA-related things, and just cool because IPAs are my favorite. So decided to go ahead and record anyway. Had decided to ask Rebecca if she wanted to come on, and she said yes to it. So this will not be like a typical episode. We will not be doing mystery beers at the end. What we're really going to do is just try three different IPAs and just talk about IPAs in general. And what we have is something that you're normally not able to get if you live in Maryland, which we do. So sorry to anyone listening who is in Maryland and cannot get these beers. We're going to be trying three different IPAs from Founders Brewing out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. One is their all-day IPA, which is a session IPA. Another one is their Centennial IPA, which is just their straight IPA. And then we have their Double Trouble, which is their Imperial IPA. Now, if we wanted to be completists about getting the whole IPA gamut and tasting that, we would do, in addition, a double IPA as well as, you know, black IPAs or Cascadian IPAs, dark Cascadian ales, as people like to call black IPAs sometimes. But we're not going to do that. We're just going to go with these because that's what we have at the moment. It was a little bit last minute. But this should be a good representation of different steps in the IPA, as I said before, the gamut of IPAs. So, first of all, I just want to put to my lovely wife, Rebecca, you started drinking beers, I don't know, would it be safe to say about 5-6 years ago, maybe? About five?
That sounds about right.
Okay, around there. And you're still not huge into IPAs, but if you could, just kind of give everyone an idea of, you know, where you stand with your taste in beers in general right now, and then specifically your feelings about IPAs.
Okay. I think, I don't know, if some of the listeners have been following the podcast for a while, I guess I was on, episode 6?
Episode 5, I think.
Oh, 5, okay. So, my palate has changed a little bit, even in that short amount of time. I would say I am able to drink a little bit of more IPAs. I am really excited. I've had the session IPA we're going to drink tonight, and I really am a big fan of session IPAs because they're a little less hoppy, but you still have that flavor of an IPA, which I enjoy. So I guess that's kind of where I am right now as far as my take on IPAs in general.
But still at the moment, like, your main focus in craft beer is like stouts, porters, stuff like that.
Yeah, correct? I would say that would be like my kind of go-to. Now that it's summer, I feel like I'm leaning a little bit more towards like the wheat and pale ales, because mm-hmm. I think they're a little more lighter on the palate. I definitely like a good porter or stout more in the winter, but if I'm in air conditioning, I still prefer the stouts and porters.
Right. And I do, you know, you were saying that you were excited about the all-day IPA when we tasted here, which is the Founders Session IPA. I think your first experience with, like, session IPAs was the Oz,
yes,
fractional, what they called it, a fractional IPA, by Duclaw Brewing Company.
Yes.
And, you know, what was your first reaction to something like that? First of all, like, your idea of what it was going to be being called, like, a fractional IPA versus what you actually
I had no idea what a fractional IPA was at all. And I think we went there and, I mean, like Carlin, you know, I like to try new beers. I don't like as many beers, especially if they're happy, but I will try to, I'll try and see what I think. So I was interested in, like, what, am I going to like this? I have no idea. I remember thinking, I probably won't like this because it's an IPA. However, I was very pleasantly surprised. And then when I looked into more what a fractional IPA was or a session IPA, I realized actually that's probably more my speed because I don't really like a lot of hops. I'm not really into like a high alcohol content beer. You know, I drink more just for the taste. I'm not looking to get drunk or anything like that. So that really appealed to me.
I think some of the main differences between regular IPAs and, you know, these fractional IPAs, as some will call them, and session IPAs, as others will call them, is that, first of all, the alcohol content is usually somewhere around half. So around 4.5-ish alcohol percentage is where these session IPAs are. And then you also get, like you were saying, the flavor differences. You get, like, the citrusy notes that you normally get with an IPA, with these fractional IPAs, session IPAs, but you don't get as much bittering at the end. Like with a regular IPA, with Imperial IPAs, double IPAs, you get a lot of the bitterness that that hops impart in those styles. With the session IPA, you don't really get much of the bitter, but you get a lot of like the nice tart, sweet, citrusy notes that you would get in the beginnings of your IPA tastes.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. It's like that bitter, like I know sometimes like you'll pour an IPA and you'll be all excited and have me taste it, and I make my little bitter beer face and shake my head and say, heck no, I'm not drinking this. It's disgusting. So.
And I will let everyone know that every time I crack a beer, if I'm in Rebecca's presence, I make her take a sip of it.
Even if I don't want to, I'm like, I'm not going to like it. Don't make me drink it. And I do, and I go, ugh.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't think you're going to like it, but you take a sip and you're like, oh, that's good. And that's kind of why I do it. I encourage everyone, really, to just try something. Even just a one little sip. It's not going to kill you. And who knows? You might discover something that you really, really like that you never thought you would.
Yeah. Well, now he started not even telling me what style it is. He just says, try this. Just try it. And I'm like, I don't want to. Just try it. You know, like, you won't tell me, because if I know it's an IPA, I'm less likely to try it. Or anything smoked. I don't like a lot of smoked beer.
Yeah. Well, and that's why it's important to then point out, that's why what we do in Brutal Battle is so important, because we don't know the style, we don't know the brewer, we don't know anything about these beers, so we don't really have preconceived notions going into it. We can't be like, oh man, it's going to be an IPA. In my case, it would be like, oh, it's going to be an IPA, I'm very excited for this, it's going to be awesome. And Kyle would kind of be like, oh, it's going to be an IPA, it's going to be real bitter and hoppy, and I'm not going to be down with it. That's just out the window. I mean, we can kind of make educated guesses based on coloration and based on aromas, but overall, it's a little bit harder to figure that out. Well, I'm going to go ahead and pour us each a little bit of this, of the first beer that we're going to try. This is the All Day IPA Session Ale by Founders. Just so everyone knows, it is 4.7% alcohol, which, if everybody knows, everyone will think, for a reference point, a lot of the macro beers are like 5.6% alcohol, like your Miller Lights, Bud Lights, things like that. So this is even less alcohol percentage.
Really?
than a light beer, a macro. The IBUs are International Bittering Units, which kind of measures how hoppy a beer is. The IBUs for this are at 42, which is, you know, on the lower end. It's not like extremely low, but obviously for something like an IPA, it's pretty low. And we'll tell you the ABV and the IBUs for the other beers when we get to those, so we can kind of talk about the comparison of it. I'm pouring it into these little snifter glasses that we had gotten from Duclaw. I found that snifters actually deliver aromas and flavors to your palate a little bit better. And that's something that Vinny, the head brewer at Russian River, had talked about on another podcast that I've been listening to. So that's just something I started looking into, and he made a really good point that pint glasses, when you're drinking, you know, they kind of, since they're kind of flanged out at the top, they're making the aromas and flavors go away from your face when you're drinking, versus these beer goblets or even using just wine glasses or snifters or whatever. The shape is such that it's funneling aromas and flavors to your palate in a more optimal way so you can taste the flavors. So here's our first one, the All Day IPA. Rebecca, you're already...
Oh, I'm already drinking. I was like...
You're very excited to get into
it. I've heard Carlin talk about the whole snifter thing with beer, so I kind of tuned out and started drinking.
So on the nose, I mean, what do you get? I'll let you go first.
I was so nervous. I don't want you to put me on the spot because I don't know. Okay. I can't pick out flavors.
There's no shame.
I know. I will put my tail between my legs. I mean, I can tell, like, I smell, like, the citrus aspect of a beer that has hops.
So it's like very citrusy. Like,
yeah.
You know, I get a tad.
I would say grapefruit.
Yes. I was just going to say I get a tad bit of grapefruit.
Were you going to say that?
Yes, I was. I get a little tangerine-y note to it as well. I mean, it's what you would expect from a regular IPA. I mean, the nose is certainly deceiving. You could probably give this to a lot of people and they'd be like, you say, what, you know, smell this, what is it? They'd be like, oh man, that smells like an IPA. It's so hoppy. But
it smells like Florida sunshine.
If Florida sunshine tasted or smelled like hops and well, I guess oranges is where you're going with that.
Yeah. The tangerines, the grapefruits, the oranges. The fact that I feel like you could, you know, sit and drink this on the beach because it's nice and light.
Yeah. So then you taste it after having, you know, that sniff and
it's confusing.
it's totally the opposite of kind of what you're thinking is going to happen. You get a little bit of that kind of citrusy note in the beginning, and then it actually kind of fades quickly.
Yeah, it almost. I'm pouring a little bit more because I drank my first serving very quickly. It almost finishes like more of like a wheat beer.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair to say. It's got a little. I mean, you get a little bit of the hop bitterness, but it's weird. And something I kind of don't like about session IPAs is that the bitter IPA finish that you get on it, there's no body behind the finish in the beer.
It's a weak finish.
It's kind of like a watery, weak finish. So that actually makes the bitter finish just a little bit harsher.
Yeah, I can see that. But I still like it. I mean, I still think this is definitely for someone who's just getting into hoppy beers or who's afraid of the IPA, kind of like I was, definitely. This is, I think, a great go-to beer.
Yeah, well, and let's just talk about the name of the beer. It's called All Day IPA. You know, it's a session ale. It's supposed to be, you know, this is for people who like some hops. They like, you know, robust flavor, but... they want to go outside, you know, they're outside hanging out in the sun and they don't want to drink something like, you know, Coors. You know, they can drink this beer and get some nice flavor, but it also has not like a real strong finish to it that's kind of hard to handle in the heat. And on top of that, it's not going to dehydrate you like crazy because the alcohol content's so low.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's the Florida sunshine. It's the out in the boat, out on the beach, out by the pool.
And I just finished mine off right there. Okay. So I'm gonna pour the next one, the Centennial IPA, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. And I'll let you start sniffing it, Rebecca. I'll let you start sniffing it ahead of me.
Okay.
And I will talk about, just in general, if anyone doesn't know, kind of the beginnings of IPAs as a style. IPAs were originally they originally came from England, and the reason this happened, they're called India Pale Ales because beers were being sent from England to the West, or the West Indies. I'm sorry, the East Indies. Yes, the East Indies, which England owned at that time in Asia. And when they were sending their normal, like, pale ale style beers, they were showing up, and because of the heat, because of the time that it took to ship them via sea vessel, the hops, when they would be consumed in the East Indies, it was just not there. You know, there was pretty much nothing. So the flavor wasn't what was intended. So what they started doing is when they were brewing specifically for these beers that were going to go to the East Indies, they were extremely hopping the beers, and they would call them India Pale Ales, because then by the time those beers, extremely hopped beers, made it to Asia, they had, you know, the hops had died down to kind of like the normal pale ale level that everyone was looking for. But, excuse me, but at some point along the way, somebody decided, well, let me just kind of give this a taste and see what it's like. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that initially they weren't like, oh man, this is amazing, because if you're not used to having a huge amount of hops and then, you taste it, it's crazy. It's like crazy offensive to your palate at first. You kind of have to get used to it. But somewhere along the way, it started picking up steam and people were kind of like, hey, you know, this is kind of good. And now this is probably the most popular style in microbrews right now.
I think so.
Or pale ale. Or I'm sorry, not pale. IPAs. Indian really? Pale ales. Yeah. I think that...
Like, it's becoming more popular, or
I think right now it is the most popular. It's the in thing. I think that, like, sour beers are starting to, you know, come up behind IPAs. I don't know if they'll ever totally take over, but, you know, IPAs are the flavor of the next few years, I guess.
Yeah.
So we have the Centennial IPA in front of us. This is a regular IPA by Founders. It is 7.2% alcohol in comparison to the 4.7% for the all-day IPA. And the IBUs are 65 in comparison to the 42 IBUs from the all-day IPA. So kind of gives you an idea of the increase in hoppage as well as the increase in alcohol content.
Hoppage?
Yeah.
Is that a word?
I think so, but if not, I made it up. So right off the bat, you can see that this is, definitely. The coloration is more of like an amber. We didn't talk about the color of the all-day IPA before.
It's more like a honey, I would say.
Oh, it is? Yeah. It very much is like a nice amber honey coloration.
No, I was referring to the Session IPA as honey.
Oh, okay. Yes. It's more of like a light honey light color. Honey.
This,
yes.
Yeah, this could definitely be like a... I've used like a wildflower honey that was this color before I'm cooking.
Yeah, definitely. So, the color difference is huge. You see that immediately. The nose... Actually, this
does not smell like an IPA.
It smells skunky, and a lot of people will kind of say, you know, will classify that scent as dankness, or it's kind of like dank. It has a little bit of like a cannabis-type scent to it.
I just feel like it smells flat.
You mean as in and not citrusy?
Yeah.
Like yeah, there not... it is...
I feel like with a lot of, like, a hoppy IPA with that citrus notes is, like, bright. And this right. feels definitely a false, it seems more flat.
This, you're kind of getting a little more, there's, like, a little bit of, it's a little more floral. It's a little more, like, a little bit of, like, a pininess to it on the end. There's a little bit, you know, there's some citrus in the nose, but it's not nearly much, the light, robust citrus scent that you got with the all-day IPA. And then, have you tasted it yet?
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
I would have never guessed this is an IPA. It tastes more of just like an amber or red ale or something.
Well, you're getting a lot of the bitterness on it. You're not getting a lot of citrus notes to it, honestly. You're getting kind of a little more of like the pininess.
Like I feel like this is more of like a red hop. A red hopped ale or something.
I see what you're saying. It kind of has a little bit more in common with like super hopped red rye.
Yeah. I don't really particularly care for this at all.
The bitter kick at the end is very aggressive.
Yeah, I know you said the session had a bitter end, but not this is definitely more of a bitter end. Like,
well, I mean, the IBUs is, you know, 42 for the all-day IPA and 65 for the Centennial IPA. So, I mean, that's a significant increase in bitterness.
Does it matter at all? This says it's unfiltered.
No, especially not because we haven't poured the whole bottle, you know.
Or does that, or a lot of IPAs filtered or, like, I know a lot of wheats are unfiltered.
I think the majority of IPAs are filtered, but I think there are also a fair share that are not filtered, such as another one I know that's not filtered is the IPA for Smutty Nose Brewing out of Portsmouth, Vermont, I want to say.
But yeah, I just feel like the only beer I've ever seen that have been unfiltered have been, like, the wheats or the Hefeweizens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is more of like it's a lot more bitter. There's a lot less of that kind of citrus note to it. It finishes differently because it's more of a hearty bodied beer than the all day IPA is. Like we said before, the all day IPA is kind of like watery on the finish. This is not. It's got a tad bit of like a syrupiness on the end.
Yes, it does. Just makes me, it like definitely like coats your mouth. Like, has a certain level of like, yeah, thickness, like a cough syrup, like makes you just want to like make that movement with your mouth, like when you have peanut butter, like that.
Yeah, it's a little bit cloying. It's kind of coating the inside of your mouth, and it's not like easy to just get off. Yeah, I poured some water in my little snifter just to, you know, rinse it out because we are about to go on to the final beer of the three that we have lined up. It is the Double Trouble by Founders. It is their Imperial IPA. And this is the next step up.
Can we talk about the label?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because the label is like super interesting because it's a Double Trouble and there's a man's face with a mustache, but when you flip it over, it's also, you think that's a woman?
It is a woman. I'm actually not going to flip it because the cap's not on.
But if you flip it over, then the man's mustache and his beard is her hair.
Yep.
And it's, I think, super interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of those, I forget what they're called, but when I was in school, they would show you these kinds of pictures all the time. What is it actually? What do you see? And it's
like
numerous things.
Like is it like the goblet or like the two kissing
faces
or something?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So here it is, the Double Trouble IPA. Just to get this out of the way, it is 9.4% alcohol. So to make that the full comparison, the alcohol content on the All Day IPA, 4.7%. On the Centennial IPA, 7.4%. And on this Double Trouble Imperial IPA, 9.4%. So we've come a long way. We've almost doubled. Actually, no, we have doubled. We have exactly doubled the alcohol content from the Session IPA to this Imperial IPA. And then to talk about the IBUs, the International Bittering Units on them. We have 42 IBUs on the All Day IPA. We have 65 on the Centennial IPA. And we have 86 on the Double Trouble. So a little bit more than double the IBU increase between this, the Imperial and the Session.
Hence the Double Trouble.
Yes, exactly. Hence the Double Trouble. So I'm pouring it now. And right off the bat, I will say, interestingly enough, it actually looks a little bit lighter than the Centennial IPA in color.
It looks like the Session. The Session's was a little lighter, I think.
Yes. The All Day IPA was definitely lighter in color. I would say this actually goes in between the All Day IPA and the Centennial IPA in coloration. It's not like the light honey color. It's also not the deeper amber color.
It's just like dark yellow.
Yeah, it's just kind of like in the middle.
Dark urine.
Like very dark urine. And if this is what your urine looks like, you are severely hydrated, so you need to go to the
dehydrated.
ER.
Dehydrated.
Oh, yeah, dehydrated, yes. So you need to go to the ER in that case. All right, and what are you getting? Go ahead and take a sniff of that. I have a feeling you're not going to like the scent on this one.
I mean,
it's a little cat pissy. There's a little bit of cat piss.
Is that how you would describe that?
Which is common. There's a little bit of like an alfalfa-y aroma.
I don't know how you pick up on any of that. I do not think cat piss smells like this. Cat piss is nasty.
How often do you smell cat piss?
We have a cat.
I've never seen you with your head down smelling your pee, though. That's
because
all I'm saying.
Because I know what it's going to smell like.
But yeah, it's a little, you know, it's a little funky.
I do get cat piss now that
it's not prominent. Like no, it's not
it's,
like
but it's a distinct smell.
Yes, and it's lightly in yeah. there. It's not like ammonia or anything
like
that.
But it's not. I mean, like just smelling this and smelling other IPAs, I'm not getting a lot of the citrus notes in this at all.
I get a little bit. I get a little bit. Much like the Centennial IPA, it's just kind of like, it's very, there, but it's barely there.
It's very subdued. It's masked by the cat piss, really.
Yeah. It is more of like, you know, a bitter scent to it, a little more of like floral. This has like a little bit of a, like a pininess and alfalfa-y scent. This is kind of more in line with like the New Belgium Rampant Imperial IPA that we tasted when Sean Creel from Brewkeep was on. Those types of scents, like the alfalfa and the pine and, you know, that kind of stuff. It's different types of hops. It's not like extremely citrusy, you know. Some hops will have, you know, a lot of citrus characteristics and some won't.
Okay, so not all hops. I always thought like all hops got
had
citrus.
A citrusy. They're all different. And you know, it's funny we talk about that now because my plan for our episodes going forward when we resume our normal episodes is we're going to have a little segment called Hop Knowledge in which we're going to look at we're going to talk about one hop each episode and kind of talk about the aromas and flavors that they impart on beers, and we will give examples of beers that are more commonly known that use those particular hops. So, and we will be going in alphabetical order. So yeah, no, it's not always the same. You know, there are a lot of different hop varieties, and much like, you know, grapes for wine, they have different characteristics in the nose and in the flavor. So let's go ahead and try the Double Trouble here.
It definitely has that syrupy quality like the last one did. Mm-hmm.
And usually you'll get that when you go up in alcohol content. The higher in alcohol content you go, the more syrupy it's going to be.
I don't know. It's just not my particular style.
No. I understand that.
You know my style.
I do think that the bitterness on the very end of it is a little less pronounced to me than it was in the Centennial IPA.
I agree. I wouldn't necessarily guess that alcohol content is more than the Centennial, though.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was actually going to say something about that. That at 9.4%, you wouldn't be able to guess 9.4%. You know, I would definitely put this somewhere around like a 7, between a 7 and an 8, somewhere in there. So Founders did a good job in masking
that. Yeah, there's no... It's like very well balanced.
It is, and at the end, you know, you get like the bitterness, but it's also...
It's very soft on the bitterness, though.
Exactly. I mean, it
almost
leaves your palate kind of softly like that. It's not like you're done and your taste buds are still kind of like shocked with the bitterness, which you get in some IPAs.
I mean, I almost I think I prefer this to the Centennial.
I do. I do mainly because of the way it finishes.
Yes. And yeah, I just feel like overall it's well balanced. Like you get the same taste from start to finish.
It just, mouthfeel and flavor wise, it seems more well rounded than the Centennial. But has this changed any of your opinions on IPAs thus far?
Well, I mean, yeah, I feel like I really, like I said, was kind of under the assumption that if it was a hoppy beer, you were almost always going to get the citrus notes. Yeah. But this is definitely eye-opening. I still prefer, I like the citrus notes, though. If I'm going to drink something hoppy, I want that citrusy. I don't like the syrupness. I don't like the flavors necessarily of all the other hops. I like the citrus.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I mainly gravitate. But I also don't, you know, count these types of IPAs out. I, you know, every now and then I do like them a little more kind of like grassy, flowery, piney, things like that. A little bit of cat pee in there. But it's terrible.
Isn't there like a different way to describe that besides cat pee?
I mean, maybe, but
let's
work on that.
We're
going for what's accurate, what people can relate to, and I assume that all of our listeners can relate to cat pee. I'm just saying.
But why would you ever knowingly want to drink a beer that tastes like cat pee?
I mean, that wouldn't be the way for anyone to kind of sell.
That's not their marketing.
Tasting
toy.
It, no. But you know, there are wines called Pinotages,
right?
The main thing is they smell
barnyard.
Like yeah, they smell like a barnyard. They smell like manure. But you know, once you get past the nose of that, it's you know, there's some really wonderful Pinotages out there that have great flavors. You know, it sounds terrible to be like, it smells like manure. It smells like dirty horse, but you get past it. And I will point out that with, you know, beers like this, the cat urine is not really pronounced like the manures and barnyard smells are in Pinotages.
Right. Well, it's also interesting because it's not this, you know, this, the nose doesn't match the taste either, which is, right. You know, it's always very interesting when you, you know, smell a beer and then you taste it, and that in itself can be kind of interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think this has been an interesting episode. Have you enjoyed it?
I did. I hope everybody liked me. I was so nervous.
They'll like
you. I can't fill Kyle's shoes.
No, we can't. Although, if you want to, go ahead and try and do one of his voices. I know you've tried in the past. Do one of his signature voices.
I don't even know.
Do your best impression, the best you can do it.
Well, which one? I don't even know. I feel like I can
His like hillbilly one. The hoot owl.
This is a brutal battle. Brutal battle. I don't know. I can't do it.
So you've somewhat filled the shoes of Kyle.
Yeah. Okay.
That being said, which is something that I realized I say all the
time. He says it all the time. I listen to all the other episodes. I'm like, you say that being said all the time.
Yes, I do. But anyway, that being said, thank you everyone for joining us for this special IPA Day edition. Obviously, this is not going to hit the internet and iTunes and all of that good stuff on IPA Day. It'll be after it's on our normal Sunday morning release time. But hopefully when you're listening to this, you can think back and say, oh, I did enjoy an IPA on IPA Day. One of my favorite beer holidays, I think. IPA Day, amazing. Hope everyone has enjoyed a wonderful, wonderful IPA, and thank you so much for joining us. Rebecca, do you want to send us off by saying anything?
Just go have yourself a good IPA.
Wonderful.
Cheers.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.